Today is the second Sunday after the Epiphany. Our readings from Sacred Scripture are 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 10, and the Gospel according to John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. Today's message is titled, From Under a Fig Tree. We begin with Samuel chapter 1. Begin with Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord unto Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down again. Again the Lord called, Samuel! And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, Speak. For your servant is listening. Here ends our reading from 1 Samuel, Psalm 139, beginning of verse 1. For the director of music of David, a psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Here ends our reading from Psalm 139, the Gospel according to John chapter 1, beginning at verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, Follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that. He then added, I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Here ends the reading from the Gospel of John. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are raised up, and things that had grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's from the Galatian Sacramentary. It's one of the first known liturgical books of the early church. And so it begins. It begins. Jesus begins to gather followers. John the Baptist is heard saying, "Look, the Lamb of God." Two disciples of John who heard him say that, they got up and started following. They heard the statement John speak about Jesus as he walked by. So they got up and began following Jesus. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 38. Turning around, Jesus saw them and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Turning around, Jesus saw them following. Buried in this simple phrase is an important aspect, which you find in the Greek. It's not well expressed in the English. That word translated as saw would better be expressed as Jesus turns and gazes at them. Or Jesus turns and contemplates them, looks upon them, beholds them. Jesus turns and intensely gazes at them. He did this to study them, concentrate them, as to impact Jesus' impression of them. What do you want? Again, the English is not bringing you the depth of the action that's going on here. It's really, what do you seek? What desire you? What search you? What requires you? I mean, properly, it means to investigate. What are you investigating? And this investigating is to get to a point of a binding resolution, to get down to the bottom of the matter. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And these two are now following to find out if indeed what John said about this Jesus can really be true. Is it true? And so they answer, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Rabbi, John in his gospel actually uses the Hebrew word rabbi. It means master, it means teacher, it's a title of respect. But do you know what rabbi literally means? It means great in number. Great in number. And this is most likely referring to the great number of facts and things that they memorized from Scripture. They know it from Scripture. And so they know so much from Scripture, they're able to teach of the Scripture. Memorization was very much a part of the learning. As it had been told, the rabbis and scribes, they were known to commit large portions of Scripture to memory. It's reported that some even memorizing the whole of the Hebrew Scriptures. That's a lot of knowing. And nowadays, we don't even trouble ourselves to memorize. Well, the phone can find it for me. Smartphones and all that. Memorize the Scriptures. Rabbi, where are you staying? Where are you staying? It's another way of asking, can we come and be one of your followers? Can we join you wherever you go? Where are you staying? Can we join you wherever you go so we can learn from you? Yes, we want to learn from you. Where are you staying? And Jesus answers, come and you will see. The two former disciples of John the Baptist, now disciples of Jesus. The 10th hour. 10th hour is about 4 p.m. in the afternoon, a few hours before sunset. It's the close of the day. And as the close of the day comes, it really is, this day is about to conclude. You better find a place where you're staying and think about the meal you're going to have at the close of the day. It's time to make the decisions regarding these things. And these two following Jesus decide to, well, follow Jesus. And perhaps, I'm just speculating, this is not scripture, perhaps their tummies were growling and growing hungry, but there's no inkling if any meal would be coming or what may be coming, where they'd be staying. Jesus simply said, come and see. And they responded to that. Come and see. There's just this something about Jesus. Something about Jesus. And it's something we all need to see, all we need to find. We all need to grab hold of that simply something about Jesus such that come and see brings us to truly trust so that we too come and see. For from that moment of come and see, all these two had known of their life, it'll be gone. Now they're following Jesus and the rest of their lives. The rest of their lives will be forever changed, cast anew. Now, no wonder Jesus gazed at them and pondered them and sized them up just a few moments earlier. We learn the name of only one of them, Andrew. And after a day with Jesus, the first thing Andrew did was find his brother and tell him, we found the Messiah. Found. And that Greek word, it means especially after searching. Andrew was with John the Baptist, shows he was searching for something, having that hunger for something more, and perhaps you have that hunger, that feeling, there must be something more. Do you have that? There must be something more. That searching led Andrew to follow John the Baptist for a while, and then when John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, we find Andrew getting up, leaving John the Baptist, for Andrew's searching has now become, we have found the Messiah. Andrew found what he was searching for, and he had to get his brother, his big brother, to join in the joy. Bringing his brother Simon to Jesus, Jesus looks at Simon. The Greek word here is different than the word we talked just about a few moments ago about seeing and saw. This word is different. This meaning here, it has a deeper, more penetrating look than that Greek word we talked about a few moments ago, which Jesus considered Andrew and the other with him with. This Greek word is a more sustained, concentrated, locked-in gaze. A laser lock. A laser lock. And filled with that special interest of love in that. There's an intent locked on look. With Jesus now saying, you are Simon, son of John. You'll be called Cephas. You see, the look was different. Because this Simon is now given the name Cephas. A new name to represent the new man Simon will become, as Jesus already sees what will come. Simon will become the rock. Simon Peter, the rock. Leaving for Galilee on the way, Jesus finds Philip. This find in the Greek means to find and discover, especially after searching. It really looks like Jesus is searching for those specific ones to make up his group of followers. Specific ones to say, follow me. Specific ones. I mean, that word follow me is akaluthai moi. Akaluthai moi. It literally means to path, join me. Join me on the path. Walk beside me. Walk the same road. Join me on the path the same way. It means be my disciple. And we translated this, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Bethsaida literally means house of fish. It's a city on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. House of fish. Bethlehem, house of bread. Bethsaida, house of fish. Time passes a bit. We don't know how much time. We don't know how long. But enough time passes for Philip now to conclude Jesus is the one written about by Moses and the prophets. And Philip finds Nathanael. Same Greek word, find here in searching. John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Pay particular attention to what Philip is saying here. Philip knew the scriptures well enough, memorized enough, from Moses to the law to the prophets, knew them well enough to be able to recognize the one who said to him, follow me, is the one that was written about in the sacred scriptures. The whom wrote of is Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Looking back in history, somewhere during the 11th century is when first surnames first began to appear. Surnames, that's last names. And they began to appear to help distinguish who a person was. Before that time, it was most often said of a person, so-and-so son of, or so-and-so son of, or daughter of, or from town, or from hamlet, or even by what trade, such as we know the disciple Matthew, the tax collector. I mean, we have found in one written of, or in other words, we have found the Messiah. How would one recognize the Messiah? And we learn from Philip the how, knowing the sacred scripture, Moses, the law, the prophets, for together they point to this is the Messiah. Philip is specific. Jesus, it's a common name. Joseph, a common name. Nazareth, now described by the times of Israel, and this is based on excavated evidence by archaeology, and I'm quoting the times of Israel. Based on excavated evidence, the tiny off-the-beaten-path hamlet was inhabited from the Iron Age, which is about 10th to 8th centuries before Christ onward. They use BCE, but I don't like that. It's before Christ. And it was only in the 1850s that Europeans turned the one-camel town into a holy site. Now Nazareth's population is over 77,000. But in the time of Jesus, a very small village of a few families. At the time of Jesus, archaeology has shown it was clearly a Jewish settlement due to the types of pottery found, I'm quoting again, as well as the chalk stone vessels, which were used only by Jewish population of the era because they were not susceptible to ritual impurity. They also found Herodian-style lamps, just as those same kind found in Jerusalem. And then studying the Jerusalem lamps and the lamps from the area of Nazareth, they came to the conclusion, these lamps in Nazareth, they were actually made in Jerusalem. I mean, they're the same. Same types of materials and so on. So it seemed like these lamps were taken home after pilgrimages to Jerusalem, and in particular the Temple Mount. Just like we like to buy and take home souvenirs from our vacations and our travels. Growing up, when my dad was serving in the Air Force, every once in a while he'd have a temporary duty assignment, and he would be gone for 1 month to 3 months or so. Two of those temporary duty assignments stand out in my memory. One was to Belgium, and the other to Australia. The Belgium assignment gave my dad the opportunity to travel to England and see the Tower of London, the crown jewels. And he brought back home to us kids, to my older brother and I, knights in shining armor, bookends. He brought back lots of postcards. And then for my older brother and I, we also had little wind-up F1 cars. You know, Formula One racing cars with working suspension. I mean, they were fantastic. I sure wish I had taken better care of them. In my one toolbox at home, I have the front suspension and a wheel. I don't know where the rest of it is, but I do have part of it. I mean, it was spectacularly little, about that big. I mean, about 12 inches. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, taking better care of them. Now, from Australia came back boomerangs and stuffed animals. I have my stuffed bear koala from my childhood. I think my siblings, my younger siblings, might have their kangaroo. I don't know. I can talk about that later. But I mean, what this shows is that human nature, over the eons, it really doesn't change. We brought these souvenirs back. For them, it was lamps from the temple area or lamps from Jerusalem. Saying Jesus, son of Joseph, that narrows it down to more specific. And that's Joseph. It's the Joseph of Nazareth. So it's Jesus of Nazareth. And Nazareth being such a small hamlet, the description really becomes quite clear. Jesus from Nazareth. Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Nathanael responds, John chapter 1, verse 46. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. Startling. It's really startling to hear Nazareth. That small place way off the beaten path, Nazareth? Does Nazareth have the ability to have something good come from Nazareth? It's so small. And that Greek word translated as good, it means intrinsically good. Good in nature. Good all the way through. All the way through. I did an interesting click through a website called Famous People from Small Town, Indiana. Let's find a small town famous people come from. And I started going through that list of actors, athletes, so forth. Most of the names you would recognize. And they came from some literally nowhere places. I mean, Florence Henderson from Dale, Indiana, population 1593. Chuck Taylor, basketball player, and then the shoemaker for Converse, you know, Taylor shoes, Chuck. I mean, he came from Azalea. It was so small, it wasn't even incorporated. Keeping with the basketball theme, Larry Bird, French Lick, population 1807. Older generation would maybe remember this name, Ernie Pyle. Ernie Pyle, World War II correspondent. I mean, he came from a very small town, Dana, Indiana, population 608. And then how about this one, basketball theme, John Wooden, that coach. I mean, he was an amazing coach. He came from Hall, Indiana, unincorporated. I mean, so small, I mean, it wasn't even a place. You see, it's not the place, but who you are. And more specifically, who you become. Out of Nazareth, can anything come good? Come and see. Philip invites Nathanael to come along and make up his own mind about Jesus. Come and see. The Greek word, it's a verb, it's idu. It means look, behold. And it's a demonstrative particle from ide, which is an interjection, which means don't mean this, don't miss this. I mean, see, this is observable fact. I mean, it's look. I mean, something's happening quickly, and you shout to your family or friends and all that, look. I like fancy sport cards. I say, look. I mean, and so on. I mean, it's like that. Look right away. Come and see. Look for yourself. Don't miss it. And in particular, it comes from a day, which means don't miss this. It's an observable fact. Observable fact. Nathanael, come with me and you, for yourself, see the facts. This Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph, is the one written about in the Scriptures. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still sitting under the fig tree before Philip called you. When Jesus saw, the Greek translated this saw, it's another Greek word to mean see. But now the emphasis is on perceiving, seeing beyond what is in front of your eyes. See the outward person, yes, but also see the inward person. See the spiritual nature of that person the makeup of that person. Jesus looks into Nathanael's innermost being. Jesus then declares, behold, a true Israelite, meaning, behold, a true person of the chosen people of God, in whom there is no deceit. With Nathanael, what you see is what you get. Unlike another one we'll meet a little later, Judas Iscariot, who used to steal from the change purse, John the Apostle writes this about Judas Iscariot concerning him. John chapter 12, verse 6. He did not say this because, that's Judas Iscariot, did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. So with Judas Iscariot, what you see is not what you get. With Nathanael, what you see is what you get. There's no deceit in him. I mean, Nathanael is as you see him. So Nathanael asks, how did you know me? And the way that is phrased, it's sort of meaning, have we met before? How do you know me? Gnesko. And Gnesko means to know by experience. And to have an experience, we obviously had to meet before. When did we meet before? I don't remember ever meeting you before. How do you know me? This is evidence of Jesus knowing, and it's a sign. It's a sign for Nathanael. It's a sign for the others with him. Before Philip called, calling you under the fig tree, I saw you. From our perspective, it's a supernatural knowing and seeing him. Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree. I see you in the innermost parts of who you are while you were under the fig tree. Nathanael's answer fits what Jesus just said of him. Then Nathanael declared, John chapter 1, verse 49, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Under the fig tree, just wait and see. Greater things are to come. You know, I saw you under the fig tree. You think that's, just wait and see. Greater things are to come. Come, and being a disciple to see, to learn, to grow, and most importantly, to be in the presence of the Son of God. So being in the presence of the Son of God, you come to know God. You come to know the God whom you can't see by being with the Son of God whom you can see. Several years later, Philip will say, and this is on the night Jesus is betrayed. It's from John chapter 14, beginning of verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you have known my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. That's why Jesus is gathering his disciples, to be with him. And with him means that all in, day out, all of this they experience. So what is written in John chapter 14, they come to know. Jesus is in the Father, the Father's in him, they're one. I mean, Jesus gathering his disciples to be with him. And all that means is that so when the day Jesus is back in heaven, a testimony will remain. So that others may come to know that Jesus, that others may come to know this Jesus, the disciples came to know and witnessed and testify about. Just as before Jesus ascended, it's at the end of the Gospel of Luke, we have these words of Jesus. Luke chapter 24, beginning at 46. He told them, Jesus told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. From under a fig tree to all over the Galilean and Judean countryside, to Jerusalem a few times, Nathanael is walking with Jesus, experiencing the presence of God, so that one day Nathanael would tell others of Jesus. So that one day all the other disciples would tell others of Jesus, of the forgiveness of sins and new life in Christ. For Nathanael came to see and know God face to face. Because when you've seen Jesus, you have seen God. And what can we learn? What can we learn? It's do the same. From the Scriptures, the Old and New Testament, come to know, really know, and experience the living God. Be filled with His presence as the words of the sacred Scriptures come to life in your heart and soul. The Holy Spirit will bring this about. The Holy Spirit will bring you into the presence of God so that you come to know the love of God. The love of God for you. You come to know the reality of the forgiveness of sins in your life, which is in Christ. And you'll come to know that new life in Christ. All of this is a free gift of compassion, mercy, and grace. Jesus saw, he really looked into Nathanael as he was under that fig tree. And the Lord will look and really look into you wherever you may be at this very moment. And this Jesus loves you. And this Jesus died for you. This Jesus rose so that you can be with him and with the Father forever. Let the testimony of the eyewitnesses, let the words of the sacred Scripture come to life in you. Change your heart and change your life. It's all by the grace flowing from God through Christ and the finished work on the cross. Amen and amen.